as your lead pastor, I am, first of all, so concerned about your spiritual well-being, but secondly, I am so concerned about your physical well-being. And so as a faith leader in this community, along with so many others, I am partnering with the mayor as he looks to his health experts, and we are going to an online worship experience. For how long? I don't know. Just stay tuned week to week. Go to our website, life.family, and you can see the latest updates. And we want to participate and be a good neighbor. We want this virus to go away. We want the power of God to bring peace to this community that we love. I want to welcome all the Life family. I want to welcome all of you who are watching, our affiliates who are watching, as well as our friends in the detention centers, the correctional facilities who are watching today. I love you too so very much. COVID-19, coronavirus, has changed our lives. I've never seen anything quite like this. Beginning with one person in China in the middle of December, it is now on six continents, 114 countries. In the United States, it is in 49 states. It has taken over 50 lives, and there are over 2,000 people who have tested positive for this. It is unprecedented times. The whole globe is baptized in fear. It has impacted the sports world, transportation world, restaurants, schools. It has impacted churches. It has impacted the entertainment industry. They canceled South by Southwest here in Austin, which represents 1% of our city's economy. It's strange times, and yet the Lord is at work. We are baptized in fear because fear is a natural God-given emotion. Fear is God-given, natural fear. Natural fear keeps you from putting your hand in fire, from keeping you walking out into traffic. It is the fight or flight mechanism that God gave you to keep you alert and keep you away from danger. But there is something called a spirit of fear, and the spirit of fear is not God-given. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Read this with me. And this time I want you to insert, instead of given us, say given me. Ready? "For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The spirit of fear paralyzes. And what makes the spirit of fear so terrible is that it renders us hopeless. Faith is always in contrast with fear. If you can imagine a seesaw, that's how it is. When faith is up, fear is down. And when fear is up, faith is down. This is how it is. To be faith-filled is, I will not let the spirit of fear cause me to be hopeless. Here's a question for you. Do you have faith? Do you have faith? How do you know? Well, do you magically just say one day, "I have faith"? Or does God put you in situations where your faith is revealed, perfected, and developed? This is how God does faith. Jesus one time was preaching to masses of people, and he was speaking to them in parables, and he just smiled to himself and said, "They don't really understand what I'm saying at all. They're following me for what I can do for them, miracles and so forth." But he looks over at his disciples, his students who have been walking with him, And he wonders, as the teacher, as the rabbi, do they get it? Do they have it? And the way that a teacher sees if his students have it is he puts them to a test. So Mark 4 says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. Now, those of you that have been to Israel with me before know that the Sea of Galilee is not very wide, only about 8 miles across. He said, let's go to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. Let's. Jesus says, let's. That's let us. Now, the disciples heard the word. They obeyed the word. They were in the perfect will of God. And they had Jesus on the boat. But even with Jesus on the boat, in the perfect will of God, a storm breaks out. Look what Scripture says next. But soon, a fierce storm. Everybody say fierce storm. Not just an ordinary storm. This was a fierce storm. Now, the men in this boat, most of them were professional fishermen. They had seen a lot of storms in their life, but this one was a fierce storm. It came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. These are desperate times for these professional fishermen. The Bible tells us they're filled with fear. Our country right now and the world is engaged in not just a storm. We've been through storms before. We've been through 9/11. We've been through other viruses. We've been through terrorism. But this one is a fierce storm. It is a fierce storm, and it is causing panic, pandemonium, pandemics. All of those words come from the same root, panic. Panic in light of the circumstances around me. And so the disciples say, well, let's go find Jesus. He's the one that got us in this mess. Where is Jesus? Jesus was sleeping. Are you kidding me? In the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. What? Listen, he didn't just nod off. He found a pillow and folded it up. He was intentionally sleeping. What good is a snoring Savior? The disciples woke him up shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Some of you are asking that today with what all's going around you. Where is Jesus? Is Jesus panicking? Is Jesus afraid? Is Jesus nervous? And it's going to bring you calm to know the Lord is very calm. Don't you care that we're going to drown? Now, Jesus woke up, and he doesn't address that last question. Instead, he puts his attention up on the circumstances, the waves, the winds, the water, and he rebukes it and said to the waves, shh, you're making too much noise. You're scaring the boys. Be still. And suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit just telling you that a great calm is about to come upon a great storm. And then he asked them two questions. So now the Lord takes his attention off the storm, and he looks back at his students, and he says, two questions. I put you in this classroom. I put you in this test, and I want to ask you two questions. Why are you afraid? And why don't you have faith? The Lord knew at that moment, I got a little more work to do, because every teacher wants his student to get an A. Here's the question the Lord has for me and you in the middle of this fierce storm. Why are you afraid? And where is your faith? The storms of life come up on us in your marriage, in your finances, in your health, with your children. Storms everywhere. Storms in the world. There are circumstantial storms. These are the wind and the rain and the waves. Can't do anything about that. That's beyond my control. Those circumstantial storms produce an emotional storm. This is how I respond to the circumstances. Fear, panic. I'm terrified. I don't want to go out. I don't know what to do. But then the third storm is a spiritual storm. I can't do anything about the circumstantial storm, and my natural fear is going to respond to how those circumstances are. But I can control the spiritual storm. The spiritual storm that broke out on Jesus' disciples was this: do you not care? And that is the spirit of fear. That's not natural fear. This is a spiritual fear where you begin to question where God sees you, loves you, or has any hope for this situation. And that we're coming against today. God has not given us a spirit of fear. I can't control the circumstances. I can't control how I'm emotionally responding to it, but I choose to believe in the Almighty God. Can I get a witness here today? Jesus could take their fear. Jesus could take their panic. Jesus could take their desperation. What Jesus could not take was their accusation. Don't you care? Caring is all Jesus can do. Caring is who he is. Caring is what he does. Every moment of your life, he sees. Every tear you've cried, he caught it and put it in a bottle. Every prayer you've prayed, the hair on your head is numbered. Some of you, that's not a challenge to the Lord like it used to be. The very hair. That's funny. There's no one in here to laugh. I pray that you're laughing on the other side of that screen. Do you not care? This is what we're coming at. That's a spirit of fear that makes an accusation against the Lord with what's going on in my country and even my neighborhood and my, do you not care? I hear the voice of the Lord coming to you today. I care. Where is your faith in the knowledge that I am still God? Fear, the acronym FEAR, forget everything and run. Sometimes this is what we do. It's panic. It's hoarding. It's cocooning. Just forget everything and run. And that's what a lot of us are doing in our communities. The governor has asked faith leaders to ask you a question. Why are you hoarding? Stop it. Hoarding is for people who have the spirit of fear. You do not have the spirit of fear. Stop it. Everybody say, I'm going to stop it. My bigger question is, why are you hoarding toilet paper? What is happening to your diet? How much roughage are you consuming? Stop hoarding. You are creating a crisis. People who are hopeful in Jesus Christ do not hoard. Social distancing. When Denise, who we celebrate 35 years of marriage tomorrow, happy anniversary. Denise, when she heard about social distancing, I saw a smile come up on her face. 35 years with me. And she says, now I have a legal reason to distance myself. I came another day, all my stuff was in the guest room. She's taking this social distancing a little too far. Forget everything and run. No, that's what people who have the spirit of fear is. I don't have the spirit of fear. Instead, I face everything and rise. This is the church's finest hour. Face it and arise. The fears we don't face become our limits, said Robin Sharma. So I face my fears. How do you face your fears? Exchange worry for worship. Philippians 4:6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. I'm not worried. Worry is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't take you very far. Worry is your private irritation with God. Anytime you see news, social media, hey, you don't even have to go out and fetch fear anymore. They're pushing it to you as fast as they can. You can either worry or you can worship, but you can't do both at the same time. As for me and my house, we're going to worship the Lord. Worship, many of you say, well, I know I need to worship, but I don't know what it means. For some of us, it means music, of course. Music can be worshipful. We heard worshipful music today. But worship is more than music. Worship is elevating Jesus Christ so high and valuing him so much that it outweighs everything else around you. Two ways that you elevate Jesus and exchange worship for worry. Number one, get in the habit of saying, in the name of Jesus. When worry comes over your mind, overwhelming you, waves crashing into your boat, paralyzing you, get in the habit of saying, in the name of Jesus. Say it with me. In the, come on, let me hear you say it. In the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus has all power. Fear has to bow at the name of Jesus. Coronavirus has to bow. Oh, I'm preaching now. Coronavirus has to bow at the name of Jesus. Begin to declare the name of Jesus over your house, over your work, over your family, over you. And the second thing is, I want you to get in the habit of reading God's word back to him. This is God's word. Read it back to him. So I want you to take your iPhone and I want you to set an alarm for 9:10. You got it? Let's do it. Set an alarm for 9:10 a.m. or p.m. And this will remind you to pray Psalm 91. Here's what Psalm 91 says, and you can make it personal. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I will trust him, for he will rescue you from every trap. And watch this, protect you from deadly. Come on, let's read that last part again. Protect you from. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies in the day. Look what it says next. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. If, now this part is conditional. You don't have to, but if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, what happens? No evil will conquer you. Hallelujah. No plague will come near. This is the word of the Lord. Begin to pray it every morning at 9:10 a.m. Say, Lord, this is what you said about coronavirus, and read it back to him. His word is forever settled. Secondly, rely on God's power, not your own. This is too big for me. Isaiah 40 and 28 says he never grows tired or weary. He strengthens those who are weak and tired. Those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength, what? Renewed. He's renewing my strength. I am mentally fatigued. My soul is fatigued. I am emotionally wrung out. That's because you're relying on your own power. Rely on God's power, not your own. You don't know God is all you have until God becomes all you need. I am asking God to allow this situation we find ourselves in to be a spiritual awakening for our country and for the world. Wouldn't it be incredible if the whole world turned their eyes to God and said, "Help us, Lord." I am so thankful for our president who declared today a national day of prayer. Thank you, President Trump. If we would all pray and ask God to help us, we will hear from heaven. Last, in the hardest times, Jesus is teaching me God's purpose. Jesus was teaching the boys in the boat the circumstances and the storm reveal their lack of faith. He's always teaching us in the storm about God's purposes. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 17. This is the Phillips translation, which happens to be my favorite. This is the reason why we never collapse. I had a lady tell me this past week, "I feel like collapsing. I'm just crumbling." Paul says this is the reason why we never collapse. These little troubles, this is just a little trouble, which are really so transitory, are winning for us a permanent, glorious, and solid reward out of all proportion to our pain. In other words, Paul says, when you consider the glory of God and his power compared to this, it's just a little trouble. When the storm breaks out among us, we lift our eyes to God. We are on assignment to show the rest of the world this is how you respond to a crisis. If we are terrorized like the rest of the world, what good is faith. Faith is for moments just like these. I wish I had a witness on the other side of that screen. I think you're clapping. I love what Rick Warren said. He said, "Don't say why me. Instead, say why not me." This is my moment. Everybody say, "This is my moment." Come on, say it. Say, "This is my moment." This is my moment. The church is not selfish, it's sacrificial. We are the last in line at the grocery store. We don't hoard. We don't respond like the world does who have no hope. This is our moment. And as your pastor and this church and all of our churches, we are going to step into this situation and be light in a very dark time.